Okay, we're picking up tonight with the next section of the Seder. As I mentioned yesterday, the actual Maggid part of the Seder that we're covering on the other series of Shiurim after Meirav, which again I will encourage everyone to try to make sure to be at. But in terms of this particular section right now, we're going to start at the very end of Maggid. You have on the sheets that in your Maamar Kamer sheets that you just got, on the second side of the first page, the Tchilas Halel B'Seder, or the beginning part of the Halel, the very end of Maggid, if you take a look at your Haggadah, the Haggadah changes, like in the middle of, right, the middle, right at the end of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it changes gears a little bit, and it moves from just merely telling over the story about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the Makos, into a tefillah, basically. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's our job to be lahodos, lahalel, etc., a whole different list of praises we have to give to Hashem. We begin with the first two prakim of halel, we make a brach at the end of Maggid, and then we go into the second kos of Yain, and all the rest will come to. So the very end of the Maggid, we move into the halel mode. Now that halel, I always say by the Leila Seder, is very, very enigmatic. There's a lot of sugyas, a lot of details that come up b'kesher to that halel that make it something that's very, very unique. So we're going to try to get you, most of the Maamar Kamer you don't have in front of you, you just try to jot them down. We're going to try to give you like a very quick overview of many of the sugyas that relate to that halel. Number one, you all know, if you remember back from learning brachas, now if you dial it up in Aleph, the Gemara had a little bit of a discussion there about the yamim sheyachid behem gomer es ha'halel. There were different days that a yachid, again, all the sugyas, different days in Tosis, what that means, that a yachid is gomer behem es ha'halel. The makar of that gemara, the real place in Shas, with the idea of someone saying halel, which days are you chayv to say halel, as we all remember from back then, we'll never forget, is found on, beautiful, it's a famous, famous gemara, everyone knows this one. Erech and Daf Yud, you were close, I'm sure that would be the next guess. The Gemara Erech and Daf Yud gives a whole list of all the different days that we're supposed to say halal. It's very, very chashuv to know that Gemara, very important because it gives you all the rules of when we say halal, we don't say halal. It's an important Gemara. The Gemara there, when it lists all the times to say halal, very conspicuously, omits the any mention of halal at the night time of the Seder. Of course, you say halal during the day, the first day of Pesach, that's pasha that you have to say. But at night time, the fact that we say halal is absolutely 100% not mentioned there in that Gemara. Now that already begs a question. Why is that true? We know you have to say halal. It's brought in all the Mishnayos over here in the 10th Perek in Pesachim that you say halal at the Seder. But nevertheless, it's left out of the list in the Gemara there in Erech and Daf Yud of the days that we say halal. And the question is why? Now you can compound that question. You can compound that question by noting the we'll call it a minhag, although we'll see that as a very, very early source, maybe even a chiyuv kind of a source. We know that many, many people follow the practice of reciting Hallel in the shul also, right at the end of Meirav by Seder night, right before you go home, people say Hallel. Nusach Sfard certainly does that. Many Nusach Ashkenaz in America don't. Here in Eretz Yisrael, everybody does. And etc. And brisk, even in America, they'll say halal by the night of the Seder. It's a very, very common thing. And Moshe Feinstein wrote Tshuva saying that he felt that that was even the proper minhag that everyone should follow. But the Maase is, we all know there's a minhag to say halal by the night of the Seder, and that's also not mentioned at all. It's left out of the Gemara. Why is that the case? To make the problem a little bit larger, we turn to another Marimakum called the Meseches Sofer. Meseches Sofer, as we know, is a sefer that's not exactly a Mesechta in Shas in the classic sense. It's a Mesechta that the Rishonim point out was authored by the Gaonim right at the very end, right after the Gemara was actually written. The people living, the Gaonim or the Rabbanan Savorai at that stage in the game authored something called the Meseches Sofer, which deals with all of the liturgy, all the different Nusach HaTfil, all different issues of Brachos, etc. It's a very, very interesting sefer, the Meseches Sofer. But it has like the status, at least in the Rishonim's eyes, as being like almost like a Gemara, being very, very equivalent to the Gemaras. It's not 100% the same, look in different sugyas, but it's pretty close. There the Meseches Sofer in Perachof, Perachof Simon Test, Meseches Sofer brings the following quote. Please listen carefully, because this is going to be almost like the theme of everything about the challah we have by the Leila Seder. It writes like this: Mitzvah min amuvchar likros challah b'batei b'leila shalgaliyas uluvarich aleihem. The Maseches Sofer writes, "Is a mitzvah min amuvchar. The best thing to do is to read about challah by the night of Pesach. You make a bracha on that halal as well. Now think back to those who are knowing to halal in shul. You remember that you definitely do make a bracha on the halal that you say in the shul. And then the Maseches Sofrim continues like this. You have a mitzvah to say the halal, la omra b'ni'ima, to say it with a pleasant voice, to say it with a sing-song, to take your time and say it beautifully. V'kayim ma'ashenemar unurom ma'ashemo yachdov, in order to fulfill the pasuk, we're all going to praise Hashem's name together. V'kushu koryo so beveso, here's the key for us right now. And when you're reading the halal again in your house by the Seder, Eino Sarech Levarech, there you don't have to make a bracha. Maseches Sofrim says, why? Shekvar Bireich Barab, because you already made a bracha in shul. That takes care of the bracha issue. Now, you line up that Maseches Sofrim with the Gemara and Erechin and Daf Yud, and you have two different possible angles that you could take. On the one hand, you can learn that there's some kind of a stira between the two of them. The Gemara and Erechin doesn't mention at all that there's any chiv to say Hallel by the night of Seder. Yet the Maseches Sofrim is saying 100% you do. Or perhaps one might want to take the approach, and we'll see Rishonim definitely do this as well, to say that they're really two totally different issues, they're two totally different chiyuvim that each one of the Makoros is dealing with. What it's talking about in the Gemara and Erech and the Halil, I'm going to use an expression I will explain as we go on, that's like the regular, classic, normal Halils that we would say. The Gemara and the Brice and Maseches Sofrim, yes, you have to say Halil, but that's a totally different din, it's a totally different mahus of what you're saying, and therefore that's left out of the Gemara. So that's the Shaila. Is there a steer, or do we have to try and explain why one is omitted in one place and included in the next? Or perhaps attack of two totally different issues that are there. Second of all, when we look at those two different Makoros, we want to try to figure out exactly the connection that the Maseches Sofrim makes between the Hallel that we say in the Shul, in the Beis HaKnesses, along with the Hallel that we're saying at the Seder. The Maseches Sofrim seems to say that they're very, very closely related. You don't make a bracha by the Hallel and the Seder because you already made the bracha in the Shul. It seems to say that... again, that there's somehow or another one in the same chi, one in the same idea. One would have to ask the question as well, what would happen if you didn't say Hallel in the shul? If you followed that minig, according to Maseches Sofrim, it would sound like you definitely would make a brach at home when you said the Hallel. And again, we have to try and figure out what that's all about. The final issue that we're going to point out before we explain everything about the Hallel by the Seder night is the very strange split that we make during the Hallel at the Seder itself. Every other time out of the year, right, the famous Pesach question, Manishtana Halayla Azeh Mikola Leilos, every other time that we say Hallel throughout the year, Hallel is said as one chativa, one unit. You say Hallel from the start to the beginning. It can't be matzik and not allowed to talk. We had the sugyas and brachos about that. All of a sudden, pitom over here by Hallel by the Seder, we split the entire thing in half. The first two prakim at the beginning of the Seder, the remainder of the Hallel by the end of it. Just plain and simple, what's that all about? What exactly are we supposed to take out of that idea? And more importantly, how does that split reflect on the nature fundamentally of the Hallel that we're saying by the Seder? Is it telling us that we have a regular Hallel, but for some technical reason we have the right to split it in half? Or perhaps we will look at that and say, no, there's really, in fact, even at the Seder itself, two totally different mechayivim of the Hallel. We were doing two totally separate things, and mimeila we split them up because one is not related and one is not connected with the other at all. So let's try to learn a little bit what's going on over here. In the eyes of a couple of the sugyas that the Rishonim discussed, and again, I'm really just giving the Rashi Prakim some summary kinds of things tonight, hoping that that you'll be ma'ayin a little bit more than the different things on your own. We're just touching on some of the issues. Everyone remembers, I shouldn't have to speak about this, but I'll mention it just in case there's someone who joined this year past Daf Yudalit and Brachos, which... Without looking around the room, I'll assume there are. Keep my eyes closed and assume there are. We all remember the Tosas and Brachas of Yudalit and Aleph, the long, long Tosas. The Yadivya Maschel Yomim Sheyachid Gomim Menasal. The bottom end of that Tosas, right after everyone gets lost, right after you give up hope and you realize that there's no way you're going to finish it, the Tosas enters into a discussion. He changes the issue that he was dealing with and begins to speak about Hallel by the Seder. And Tosas brings you Yerushalmi. Now, Tosfos has two different pshatim, how to explain this Yerushalmi. So instead of dealing with the Yerushalmi for right now, we're just going to talk about like the machlokas in the Tosfos, the two different opinions that Tosfos says. One day that a Tosfos brings, holds, and this is a chiddush atzam, that you make two separate brachos on the Hallel at the Seder. Now, I want to remind all of us, just in case we're not familiar, when we, like Lamaisa, bottom line, practically speaking, say Hallel by the Seder, both the first half and the second half, we do not make any kind of a bracha on the Hallel. We just say the prakim of the Hallel without making any bracha, sort of similar to what we do on Yom HaTzimut, that kind of a thing. We don't make any bracha on the Hallel. Tosfos brings one opinion that says no. By the Hallel, by the Seder, not only do you make a bracha, a shir kiddushim, a zovet zivano, etc., you make two brachos by the Hallel at the Seder. You make a bracha when you begin the first half, you do that, etc., you go on for all the other mitzvahs that follow suit, and then when you begin the Hallel later, by the Hallel section of the Seder, you make a separate bracha on that Hallel as well. Now, very clearly, without explaining at length right now, that day in Tosfos is assuming, or really suggesting, that there are two totally different motifs behind the Hallel at the Seder. If you're making two separate brachos on that, it's a davar pasha that there's two separate in Yanim that you're being mekayim, two separate themes that are going on over there that are mechayiv you to make those two separate brachos. That's one day in the Tosfos. Again, very clearly showing by the issue of bracha and by having two brachos on the Hallel, they're in fact by the Seder itself two totally different Hallels that are being said. And again, we'll come back to that a little bit later on. Tosfos brings another day, though. He brings a second opinion over there that says no. But here you have to listen carefully how he says it. There's no bracha at all that you make on the Hallel by the Seder, Tosfos explains, for a very, very simple technical reason. Why don't you make any bracha on the Hallel by the Seder? Because there's a hefsek in the middle. How can you make a bracha on something that you're not even going to do? I can't make a bracha knowing that the halacha works it out for whatever the reason that I don't say the entire Hallel. That's Tosfos' second opinion, no bracha. Now, if you stop, though, and think like 1 second below the surface of that Tosfos, he's saying something now that's diametrically opposed to the first idea in the first day. What's Tosfos saying? Theoretically, you should be making one bracha at the beginning of the Hallel. It's a regular, old Hallel, classic. You make a bracha. Why don't you make a bracha? Technicality. Yeah, there's a hefsek issue that's there. But as opposed to the first day in Tosfos, which is saying that there's two totally brand new, totally unique mechayivim, totally unique kiyumim that should be mekayim by that Hallel. The second day is saying absolutely not. One Hallel, one unified composite Hallel, classic, totally identical to everything we would do all year round, but again, without a bracha because of a technicality, because of the hefsek problem. Those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. If you take a look, in the Mordechai, at the end of the 10th Perek in Pesachim, the Ramban brings this as well, but it was really made famous. Many people around Pesach time don't spend time learning all the Rambans and the Mordechais, but the Brisker Ravs, that we always do. This is like the big season for the Brisker school is right around Pesach time. We always have to give credit where credit is due, but certainly by Pesach, I don't think there's a person in the world who's a Ben Torah, no matter how not into Brisker learning is the rest of the year, that on Pesach time suddenly, changes hats and just, it's not conceivable how the Jews went out of Mitzrayim without having Reb Chaim, without having the Brisker Rav, but just without that, it just didn't make sense. Anything before, and so Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rav, and the Chedushi HaGriz al HaRamim, and Hilchos Chanukah, the very, very end of Hilchos Chanukah, the Griz brings a day of Rav Tzemach Gon. Rav Tzemach Gon, it gets quoted by the Mordechai, quoted by the Ramban, but the Brisker Rav developed the idea a little bit more, explaining really based on the Mordechai's idea of how to learn the Rav Tzemach Gon, who had a third opinion, how to categorize the Hallel by the Leila Seder. He basically said like this, it's going to sound similar to Tosfos, but listen carefully because it's totally, totally different. He says like this, yeah, we don't make a bracha by Hallel on the Seder night. No bracha by Hallel by the Seder. Why not? Says Rav Tzemach Gon, the fact that we make a hefsek in the middle of the Hallel for the meal, the matz, and all of that, the fact that we make a hefsek indicates that this Hallel is not a regular kind of Hallel. And memela, because of that, no bracha is going to be required. In other words, let's go over what he said. really basically have something that has nothing to do with Hallel the rest of the year. The indication of that, what shows me that, is the fact that there's a hefsek. That hefsek is used now to totally break apart the two sides of the Hallel. But if some have gone tiny, listen, there's no such thing as making a bracha on two prakam of Hallel, a bracha on the last four prakam of Hallel. Those things don't exist. So in the middle of there's no bracha. You don't have a bracha on this new breed, this new bria, basically, of a Hallel that we don't find ever before. Totally different than the Tosfos that we said earlier, who just has the Hallel as regular, just has a hefsek problem in the middle. According to Tosfos, that hefsek doesn't show me anything fundamentally about the Hallel. It's just a technical problem of a hefsek. What really made the Hallel by the Leil HaSeder famous, and this is the day that we're actually going to spend time being Marichiv, developing a little bit more, was the famous Rav Haigon. That's just when you hear those words, Rav Haigon, Hallel on the Leil HaSeder, everybody from now on will have chills go up their spine, goosebumps on their arms. This Rav Haigon is probably the most famous thing in terms of the sugya of Hallel by the Leil HaSeder, and it's absolutely beautiful. A person knows this Rav Haigon well and understands and tries to chazer some of the things we'll talk about now. Every time you sit down by the Seder, the experience will be 100% different than anything you ever did from before it. Rav Haigon says like this. By the way, this is one of the earliest times. There are Gemaras like this also in some places. This is one of the earliest expressions in Rishonim where it's clear that the Rishonim themselves, like at least at times, utilize what we nowadays call like a lumdis approach to sitting and learning. Rav Haigon says the following. Why don't you make a bracha by the Leil HaSeder? We don't do it. We don't make a bracha by the Hallel. Why don't we make a bracha on the Hallel? Says Rav Haigon like this. You only make, but it's five words. He doesn't explain, but it's the most beautiful thing. Says Rav Haigon, you only make a bracha on a Hallel that you're saying b'toras kriya, reading. But you don't make a bracha on a Hallel that you're saying b'toras shira, based on the idea of singing to a Kadosh Baruch. Well, that's the Rav Haigon, quoted by the Ran at the end of Arvei Pesachim, the last perek in Pesachim. That's the Ran. Two dinim and a Hallel. There's a Hallel of the concept of Kriya, reading Hallel. That's the classic Hallel that we say on a Yom Tov morning, on Rosh Chodesh, on whatever other time we're going to say. Hallel, we have a mitzvah to read the Psukim. I'll add the comment right now. That's a mechanical mitzvah. The kiyum of the mitzvah is to read. You read the words of a Hallel, make sure you read them correctly from the Siddur, etc. You make the mitzvah of reading the Psukim of the Hallel. Says Rav Haigon, by the Seder night, we're dealing with something absolutely different. We're dealing with a Hallel that's not a mechanical pu'ula, not a technical function of reading the words, but an emotional expression of shira to a Kadosh Baruch. You have to sing the Hallel by the Seder. Now, what's pshat in that idea? That you have to sing the Hallel by the Seder night. So the pashit pshat would be like this. And again, many of the Achronim explain that the Rav Haigon like this, but even without, like, it's just clear in Rav Haigon's words that this is what it's all about. Look in the Ran over there. Right before we say the Hallel, by the Seder night, we have an introductory paragraph. Two introductory paragraphs. One of them we quote a Mishnah in Pesachim. Chayiv Adam Liro says, Atzmo kilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. A person has to view himself as if he left Mitzrayim. The Haggadah quotes Pesukim to that effect. Lefikach, therefore, the Haggadah says, we have a chiyuv, lahodos, lahalo, all that kind of stuff that we say by the Haggadah, that we break out into the Hallel itself, Halleluk, Halluas Hashem, etc. What's Pshat in Rav Haigon? Rav Haigon saying like this, Hallel on the Seder night is based on the experience that we all undergo by the Seder of viewing ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim. When I reach the climax of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I'm liros es atzmo kilu hu yatsami Mitzrayim, I did it. I just walked out of there. I just left the Yamsuf. I feel myself as if I just crossed the entire thing and mamish left the Shibud Mitzrayim. Chayavim were chayiv lahodos lahalel etc. And we break out spontaneously in that shira. Says Rav Haigon, that's not a bracha. That's not a technical maisa mitzvah that you're doing. That's your life. That's just something that comes from the gut. That comes from the kishkas. Now we know l'mashal. There's a very very famous sefer achinuch. I believe it's a mitzvah chaf aleph, and it's also the idea is also repeated in the Sefer Mitzvahs LaRambam and Mitzvahs Esei Kuf Chav Zayim. Both the Rambam and the Chinuch point out that one of the integral elements of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of saying over the story of Mitzrayim, is Hallel. We don't just tell the story like we do it every night of the year. We're going to go daven Marav, Ani Hashem, or whatever he says, Asher Mitzrayim. Every night we have to remember that we left Mitzrayim. The chinuch and the rabbim and sefer mitzvah say by the seder we have to be mahala, we have to praise Hashem. What's pshat? And that's the same exact idea. We have to experience that we were leaving Mitzrayim by the seder. And maybe we have to break out in that kind of a hallel. Lamaisa, we have a Gemara in Pesachim of Kufta Zayin Amid Beis. I'm going to carry the theme a little bit further. Gemara on Kufta Zayin Amid Beis in Pesachim records a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Mishnah over there. Between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. At Heichon Hu Omer. How much of the Hallel do you say at the beginning of the Seder? So Beis Shammai's opinion was you only say the Hallel, you only say rather the first paragraph of the Hallel. Beis Hillel's Shita was that you say the first two paragraphs of Hallel. Now, what's the beginning pasuk of the second parak in Hallel? Beis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov mi Amnois, etc. Right. So you have the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi writes in Parak Yud Halacha Hey of Pesachim. Yerushalmi explains the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What are they arguing about? So Beis Shammai comes along and says like this. What do you mean? It's the night time right now. It's before Chatzos HaLayla. Right. It's before Chatzos. As we all know, you have to have the Seder before Chatzos. Says Beis Shammai, we didn't leave Mitzrayim. What are you saying? Betzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. We didn't go out yet. Beisrael tain is back. No, Kevan Shehisna, once you begin the Hallel, Omrim lo Marek, we tell them to finish it up. You say the rest, you say that next paragraph also. Now that Yerushalmi, again, is reiterating the idea that the whole Mechayiv of that Hallel that we're saying at the end of the Sipur Yitzir Yitzrayim is the fact that we just walked out. That's the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai arguing about. Beis Shammai comes along and says, well, wait a minute, we didn't leave yet. Look at the time, look at your watch. Yeah, you have to view yourself like you left Mitzrayim, but we have another 2 hours until we're going out, right? So what are you saying Hallel for? Beis Hillel says, no, what are you talking about? Once we're beginning with that, we have the right to say the Hallel, the entire first two paragraphs, but say Yisrael, mi Mitzrayim. But they're both making the assumption that the issue is one of reenactment. We're doing it right now. That's what's happening to all of us as we lived through the Seder. Now again, if we have that in mind, the Hallel that we're saying, as we say the words, number one, obviously, like the Masechah Sofim said earlier, it should be said b'ne'ima, with a sing-song, with a tune. So we're not just saying words, this is something that has to come from the heart in the most deepest, purest, beautiful of ways possible. This is something that we have to feel that we left Mitzrayim. And if we don't really do that chiyuv beforehand of sitting down for a couple of minutes and for some people maybe an hour, and just trying to knock it into our heads that we are leaving Mitzrayim, the Hallel is going to be totally different. Mashenkin, if you can achieve that by the Seder, the Hallel is something that's just out of this world. Now the truth is that concept of saying the Hallel, that concept, that machlokis, so let's just finish up the machlokis, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There's a very popular sefer called the Emek Bracha. He probably had a Emek Bracha came up a couple of times in different issues in Sukkah. In Brachos, it comes up very often. Emek Bracha is one of the contemporary Lamdanim, has a lot of beautiful chidushim on topics related to just different mitzvahs throughout the year. Emek Bracha writes, it's on page Kuf Chaf Hei in Emek Bracha, a pshat, it's a nice pshat to know about the Hallel since we live through this every single year. How to explain that Yerushalmi? What's that all about? He learns like this. Beis Shammai Shita was over there that you can only say Hallel on something that you actually experience, on an event, a concrete event. You didn't leave Mitzrayim yet, right? It's still before Chatzos. Okay, but there's no Hallel. What are you saying Hallel for? Beis Hillel, on the other hand, what?
Chayiv
Adam Liyos says on Kiyul
Atzmi Mitzrayim. If you're saying it's like a concrete event,
that's what you just left. Well, so we'll talk a different time what that means that you're chayiv to see yourself like you left Mitzrayim. But that's concrete enough on a halachic level. Now, the Beis Hillel on the other hand would look at this and say, no, listen. You have the right to say Hallel also. Let's say in this example, you have a avtacha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a promise. This is it. We're leaving Mitzrayim now. The process has begun, right? You have the Karban Pesach. You're having the Seder. Think back to what they did, what we did back in Mitzrayim time. Oh, we knew it was happening. It's just a matter of time until the green light actually is actually turned and we actually begin to walk out. But we know it's happening. So Beis Hillel had the Shita. You have the right to begin to say Hallel as long as you see the events in motion, as long as the promise is actually beginning to be fulfilled. Okay. Now, one last comment about the Halabalela Seder, then we'll move into the next stage, is that whatever we just said right now, explaining the sheet of the Rav Haigon about why we don't make a bracha by the Seder night, the Briskerov also, another one of the famous, you know, Chidushim of the Briskerov, had tried to explain a debate that really is found in the Rishonim, but trickled down to the Poskim as well, about how to go about saying the Hallel by the Seder. At the very end of the Hallel, right before we drink the cup of wine, that's not true. Right before we begin the Hallel, rather, I just scratched it. Right before we begin the Hallel, in that introductory paragraph, we conclude with the following line. Right, we're Lafikach, therefore we have to be Mahalel to Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank Him, etc. The way we have the text in the Haggadah reads, the Nomar Lefanav Shira Chadasha Halleluka. We have to say a new song to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then Halleluka, we begin the Hallel right after that. Tosfos has a kasha here in Psachim. Tosfos has a problem. Kuf Tazayim at base. He says, I don't really understand. If you look in the Seder, right at the end of the Hallel, right before we drink the second cup of wine, we say a very similar phrase. We use the expression, when we come back to Yerushalayim, we're going to say in front of you, V'nodelecha shir chadash, we'll say a shir chadash, then we make whatever bracha, al kulaseinu, v'apadus nafsheinu, baruch at Hashem, etc. Right? That's the end of the bracha. So Tosfos asks, what's the difference? Before we say Hallel, we have in a lashon nekeva, in a feminine form, shira chadasha, v'nomer lefanav of shira chadash, and right before we drink the second cup of wine, we have the line, v'nodelecha shir chadash, a shir chadash, in a lashon zachar, a masculine form. Well, what's the difference between the two? Sure, it's bothered you every year when you read the Seder as well, all young budding philologists. The Tosfos basically says the following idea. He says like this, listen. By the end, right before we drink the second cup of wine, when we're talking about the future redemption, what's going to be la'asid lavo? Right? Well, he says like this, la'asid lavo, we can say a sheer chadash, in a masculine form. Why? He says, let's take a mashal, Tosfos says. You have a pregnant woman, right? So she knows something nice is taking place, something very simchadik, a very, very happy occasion in their family. But the bottom line is, if you want to like want to be scared, right, and you want to like never want to get married, all you have to do is walk into a maternity ward, walk into the labor and delivery area, and you hear the screams of people just like screaming out in like in utter pain. It's a horrible, horrible kind of a thing. You'll hear shrills and it's horrible. It's horrible in the labor room. And I told her, says, listen, what's everyone screaming about, right? Isn't it a happy thing? You're having a baby, right? That's a nice thing. You're screaming out like someone's cutting off your legs. So she tells us, yeah, because that's the way it is. In Olam Hazeh, when we have a simcha, a simcha is always mixed with some degree of sorrow. The bottom line is no simcha is complete, right? No simcha is ever totally perfect. It's a dugma, Tosfos says, of a woman giving birth to a baby. So therefore, when we're referring to living here in today's world, when we're still talking about the Hallel, Tosfos says, we use the expression shira chadasha in a feminine form to make note of the fact that prior to the ultimate geula, we're still like a woman who's having a baby. It's nice, we're very happy, but we're also screaming and yelling every once in a while. Both things are there. That's the Tosfos. Now, based on that, Mishnah Berurah brings down, he quotes many Acharonim, the Bach, the Maharil, many of the Gedolei Acharonim felt, that want us to amend the Girsa in the Haggadah that we have. That we change the text to the following. This is the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah's Haggadah read as follows. Instead of saying v'nomar lefan of shira chadash. Now let's test our Hebrew grammar over there. If we have the Art Scroll interlinear Haggadah, what does that mean? V'nomar lefan of shira chadash. And what? A new song.
We'll say a song.
Everyone's mumbling one line. I can't even say anything. Stop. One present at a time. We will means we're talking in a future tense. V'nomar lefan of shira chadash. We will say a new song in front of you. And so says the brings the Mishnah Berurah in the name of all of the Achronim. That's not the right thing to say. Because according to Tosfos, what are we commenting about? We're commenting about not what's going to be in the future, that's a shir chadash. That's after, like, we're out of labor already. There's no more screaming and yelling. We're talking about a past thing. What happened back then? So says the Mishnah Berurah, what are you supposed to say? V'ne'mar lefon of shira chadash. And what does that mean? We, let's take a guess, we said in front of you a shira chadash, a song, a new song. Back then when we left Mitzrayim, it was a brand new kind of a thing. Hallelujah, then we go into the hallel. Now, said the Brisker of, listen, the bottom line is, Tosis is right. The Tosis gives us pshat in the Haggadah. But every Nusach in the Haggadah doesn't have the way the Mishnah Berurah dends the Haggadah, right? And nobody does that. That's the bottom line. Any Haggadah that you buy, even today, when almost 100 years after the Mishnah Berurah's time, no Haggadah has ever been changed to change that past tense Nusach. And Ne'emar lefon of Shira Chadasha. The funny thing is, the only Haggadah that actually has it like that is the Brisker Haggadah. That's when they print both Nuschos in the thing, despite the Brisker of, pshat and why we say that the high like that. But that be that as it may, said the Brisker of like this. What's the idea? So what's the idea? The idea is very, very cute. It is very, very cute. The Nomar lefon of Shira Chadasha means as follows. Right now, this very second, I just left Mitzrayim. I've experienced myself the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It just happened. I left. Now what do I say? The Nomar lefon of Shira Chadasha, what does that mean? We will say, we're not talking about 2,000 years later or tomorrow when the Mashiach comes, we're talking about in 1 second after this, the no amount of fun of Shira Chadasha, we're about now to sit down and say Baal, because we've just left Mitzrayim. It's not a v'nemar that it took place way back when, 1,000 through 2,000 something, almost 3,000 years ago by the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It happened right over here today, the no amount of fun of Shira Chadasha. Then we go into the how we say the bracha, etc. We go and drink the second curse of Yad. The next stage that we're going to speak about them, it's a little bit of an overview about the Hallel part, at the beginning of the Seder at least. We're going to move into the Rachtzim, into the next major stage of the Haggadah, the Rachtzim, washing the hands by the Seder. Now, Rachs is actually a little bit tricky over here. Rachs says, again, one of those things, like you mentioned last night, that Urchatz, that we're washing for the Davashi Tibula Mashka, should be pretty simple. You wash your hands like normal. What's the big deal? Urchatz, theoretically, should be the same thing. But yet, in the Sugyas and the Gemaras, there's a lot of Diyuna, major Machlokas in the Rishonim, about what this Netilas Yadayim is. And it all originates from a very, very simple problem that the Rishonim ask on the Gemara. And we're going to come to the Bir Halacha that you have in front of you in just a couple of minutes. The Gemara writes like this. Now listen carefully to the Lashon of the Gemara, Kuf Tes Vav Mem Beis. The Gemara says, that Adberei Rav Chisda, the Rabbi Na'ukva, Rav Chisda was a company that was working with Rabbi Na'ukva, the Darish, and he said the following Chiddush, odd Lashon in the Gemara. Notel yodav v'tibul rishon. Even though you washed your hands by the first time you dipped the thing, the karpas in the salt water last night, notel yodav v'tibul sheni. You still have to wash your hands again by the second time you dip. Says the Gemara, why do you have to do that? The Gemara says because it was dilma, perhaps asuche aschei l'dayte. Perhaps you had a hesach hadas, you veered, you diverted your attention from making sure your hand didn't touch anything wrong. V'naga, maybe you touched something that you weren't supposed to touch, you have to wash again. Tosfos and all the Rishonim are bothered by the Lashon in the Gemara. You have a problem, Tosfos says. What's the Lashon in the Gemara? Even though you wash your hands by the first time you dipped, you have to wash your hands again at Tilas Yadayim before you what? That's precisely what the Gemara does not say. What does the Gemara say? Note the Adav le tibul sheni, for the second dipping. What's the second dipping? That you dip the mar in the charoset. You have to wash your hands again before that. So the Tosfos says, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You have to wash your hands for the matzah, that wash your hands for the mar that you're about to eat. Whatever happened to washing your tefillin today for matzah? What's going on with that? So we're going to run through the tirutzim of the Rishonim quickly. All of them, a lot of Yesodos about the Netilas Yadayim, and eventually are going to lead us into some of the Chidushim that relate back to the Urchatz over here as well. Tosfos just gives a cop-out, with all due respect to Tosfos. Tosfos just says, the Gemara really means you're washing for matzah. That's basically what Tosfos says. Why did it say you're washing to dip the second time? Because that's also true. We're going to dip by your hands a second time. Since you washed the first time for dipping, the Gemara just like slipped that lashon, and you're washing it again for the dipping, but you're really washing for the matzah. So that's tosis. That's tosis, but you don't wash before you dip the things in salt. Now, that tosis says it's no big deal. No big deal. You take a look at the Mordechai. There's a Mordechai in his Seder Shal Pesach, the very, very end of the Sefer of Mordechai. The Mordechai brings two other pshatim how to explain the Gemara. Mordechai brings two other pshatim over here, what the pshat is. One of them, the Mordechai says a chiddush. He says a chiddush. The chiddush that the Mordechai writes is that, listen, what did you wash your hands for before? What was the purpose of washing your hands the first time around? Like we learned last night. Says the Mordechai, you're only chayiv to wash your hands up until what do you call this thing in Allah? Anyone know? Ada knuckles. That's beautiful. Right? Ada knuckles. Very good. You wash the what's called ad. He said ada perik up until the knuckle, but that's the perik is the evil way of saying it. That's enough. Why is that true? We're not going to get into the dinum of Tumah V'Tara, but since the whole point had to do, as he explained yesterday, with different issues in Tumah V'Tara, you have to wash only up until there. But when you wash your hands for bread, when you mekayim that the takanas chachamim netilas yadayim lapas, you mechuyif to wash your hands up until.
Up until the wrist.
So therefore, what? At a zro, which is called. There's no real lashon. You just wash up until your arm, which basically means the hand part up until the arm. So the main rule of Mordechai says like this: the two different washings are going to be done up until two separate times. So the Tosa says, the Mordechai says as follows: Yeah, you're right that the bread has to be washed for, but that's how we're referring to in the Gemara. You have to wash up until the pere, up until the zeroa, up until the wrist for the bread. The Gemara was just only referring to the dinam of the davish tibula b'mashke. Now, agav, as an aside, a little footnote, we happen to not hold like that, la la chalamayse. We would hold over there in the beginning of Siman Kuf Nun Ches, like we learned yesterday, Atila Sidayim for Dovash Tibula Bamashka is 100% identical to washing for bread. You wash up onto the wrist like normal. That's the shear, at least, that we paskin in halacha. It's a machlokis between the Rajb and other Rishonim in the first parak and Yadayim, how far you have to wash your hands. But that's the psak halacha. Good, it's another pshat that gets around the question, a different little kind of an ukimta in the Gemara that we're not going to get into, and I'm going to get into right now. The Beshezer brings. And so Makuf Nun Ches, and Lachas and Atilas Adayim Rokeach. The Rokeach gives us another Chiddush, Lahalacha, that comes out of this Gemara about the two washings. And again, we should appreciate when we're going through the Seder how many things that come up on a daily basis arise straight from the Dionim and the Gemara Rishonim relating to the Seder. The Rokeach brings the following Chiddush. He says, you know what? He says, I'll tell you what the deal is over here. How much matzah are you mechuyav to eat by the Seder? Midrash eat a kezias of matzah. It's a minig that we have for absolutely, I don't want to say absolutely no reason, but it's not clear why we have the reason to eat two kezias. But then the halacha is you have to eat a kezias of matzah. Says the Rokeach, the Gemara, listen carefully, Bedavka wrote that you're washing your hands for dipping the maror and not for bread, because the only time you have to wash for bread is if you're eating a kibetza of bread. So you push it, don't even have to wash the tilas yidayim for the amotzi, the Rokeach learns. And where does he get that shita from? He gets it from his Gemara, from that emission. Now yesterday we explained mitzad the dinei tumah, why that would be true, but that's the Rokeach shita. Now again, we don't paskin like that, we paskin halacha l'maisa that you wash without making a bracha though, but that is in deference to the shita of the Rokeach that comes out of this Gemara. However, the, what we're going to call right now the real shita in Rishonim, the one that seems to get held of the most in the halacha, is a day of the Mordechai. A separate Mordechai. The Mordechai is found in his Peirush over here in on the Gemara itself, not in the Seder. The Mordechai is found in his comments on this on the Gemara itself, on Kuftas Vavim Beis in Pesach. Mordechai says like this. This is very, very nogeya to all of us on a practical level as well. Mordechai says the lashon in the Gemara is that you have to wash the second time around Dilma, perhaps a suche aschei l'dayte v'naga. Perhaps you had a hesach adas, you touched something in the middle. After all, if you think through a seder, a whole long shebang, it can take 2-3 hours sometimes. You might have inadvertently done something with your hands that you weren't supposed to do. You have to make sure to wash again. Says the Mordechai, his feeling is, If a person had kavana, listen to how he says it. If a person had kavana from the moment that he washed for the urchats, for the karpas, and made sure that he didn't do nothing wrong with his hands. His hands, he just kept them up here the entire time. Nobody touched him. He was waving at the crowd. He didn't do anything with his hands at all. Says the Mordechai, he's not mechuyev to wash for the hamotzi anymore. Why? The Mordechai Shita is, over here, that once you wash on a davashat tibulo b'mashka, that counts as netilas edayim. It's the same thing. You don't have to bother washing again. Now, I'm going to footnote us again over here, that in Shulchan Aruch and Kufnun and Ches, we're machmir against that shita of the Mordechai. We would hold that if you washed your hands for an apple that was wet, because you were dipping your cookies in milk, like we learned yesterday, and then you want to have a piece of bread afterwards, that you are mechuyev to wash again netilas edayim. Why that's true, we're not going to talk about the halachic elements tonight, but you know, you have to wash again. But says the Mordechai, if you're to keep your hands free from touching anything that would be mechayiv them to be washing, you don't have to bother washing. You don't have to wash again. Now along comes the Beis Yosef. And Siman Tuf Ayin Hay. In the Dinam of the Seder, he brings the Mordechai. Okay, technically speaking, it's only a chashash. Why do you have to wash? Dilma, perhaps you touched something. If I know I didn't touch something, I don't have to bother washing again. If you keep your hands clean enough to wash. Says the Beis Yosef that he recommends that a person should not, listen carefully, not try to keep his hands free from touching anything. Why? He says, we know. The Chazal are Mesakin. Everybody knows the Minig Yisrael. There's basically a takana. Washing urchats by the Seder. The Seder, again, as we know, comes from clearly from the times of the Gemara, all the different stages that are there. So you shouldn't go out of your way to avoid doing one of the stages of the Seder. That's the recommendation of the Beis Yosef. That's his recommendation. Now, what does he say in Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch brings down, and when you wash for the, what's the next stage called? The rachza, when you're washing the tzil sidayim for the emot. So you wash, you make a bracha on a tzil sidayim like normal, 100%, like regular tzil sidayim. However, the Bir Halacha rather there brings, and the name of one of the Rishonim, the Shibali Aleket, the following suggestion. He says, you know what, but I have a problem though. A very, very simple he'ara. I don't understand. What's the reason why you're washing a second time? What does the Gemara say? Why do you wash a second time? Maybe I had a Hesach Hadass. Says the Shibalek, I don't understand. So basically tell me you have to wash Misafik. It could be I don't have to wash. Could be that I do. We don't know. Says the Shibalek, I don't understand then. If it's all based on Hesach Hadass, how can you make a bracha on such an Atzilas Adayim? Everybody learns in elementary school. Everybody learns what's rachza all about. Wash your hands with a bracha, right? That's the real washing. But says the Shibalek, that just doesn't make any sense. It's a chumra ba'alma. Maybe you touched something, but you already washed earlier, right? You already washed at a perek, like we hold that you have to wash for davar shetibula at a zroa. Like we all that you have to wash for davar shetibula b'mashka. So what are you making a bracha on the netilas yadayim for? It just doesn't make any sense. So Mishnah, the Bir Halacha, in fact, and it's a chiddush many people aren't aware of, but the Ashkenazi, the standard Ashkenazi meaning amongst B'nai Torah is to try to be sensitive to the Shibali alike. And the Mishnah Berurah said, the Bir Halacha rather says like this. He says, listen, if you really don't know what happened? Sometimes you know that you change a diaper in the middle of the Seder. You scratched your head, you touched your shoe, like you're aware of the fact that you did something to your hands that would necessitate another Netilas Yadayim. You're aware of that. But what happens if you're sitting by the Seder, a nice regular guy, you didn't do anything, you didn't change any diapers, you didn't tie your shoes, you didn't scratch your armpits, you know, stick your hand under your shirt through your tie and scratch your skin under your armpit. You didn't do anything wrong. So says the Bir Halacha, what do you do now? Shibalek says you can't wash with a bracha. But yet we know, the Mechaber says, the Halacha is you wash by the rachsa with a bracha. So what do you do, right? That's brought down, you do. So says the Bir Halacha, Halacha l'maisa, a person should be makbid before they do the rachsa to go out of his way to touch something. Or scratch your head, touch your shoe, do something right before you go to wash just to make sure 100% beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt that you're actually mechuyev in a netilas yadayim, so that you can make a bracha and be mekayim that stage in the Seder like regular. Yeah.
If the whole reason was for Hesach Hadass, shouldn't have made a bracha to begin with? And then, since you know you're going to be yotzei, since you know you're washing, and then also, it should be also good for washing your hands for bread, you should have made the bracha beforehand.
There's no takana on that, though.
Yeah, but it's kind of, the washing's not only for the carpus, it's also for eating hamotzi, and there is a tikkun on hamotzi to wash.
I don't know if that would work 100%. You're saying, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the same thing could be done for both. Like many of the days that we just quoted say you can't do that. For all the different you know, pratim that we just saw. According to the days that say the same thing works for both, why wouldn't we claim that maybe you're going to make the bracha for them? I don't mean mitzad again, mitzad al chashash. I don't think Chazal could have been mitzad in such a thing. Because you know you're going to have a minimum of 2 hours. So the chances are very real that it's not going to be used for bread. So once there's no chiyuv of a bracha on the davar shetibul mamashke, there's no reason to. Now theoretically, I guess if it was going to be like a minute later, like maybe yeinachanem, maybe we have a good point. I think just on a practical level, I don't think there could have been such a thing. Now on that point, the Rabbi Allah, we should be aware that there is a tshuva in the Yabia Omer Rabbi Avadia Yosef for the Sfardic brethren amongst us, where Rabbi Avadia or Chacham Avadia, as they say over here. But Rabbi Avadia has a tshuva writing against this Bir Halacha. He says he doesn't think a person should do that. He says if a taka is a suffik, he says if you're chayiv to make a bracha or not, and you touch your shoes just to make sure you make a bracha, you're running the risk. Remember we had the Gemara in the fifth parak. The Gemara discussed the idea of a bracha she'ein atzricha, a bracha that you don't have to be making. Says Rabbi Avadia, he thinks that that's a real issue over here. Meicha teisi, why would I assume I'm allowed to go out of my way to do that just to make it? Maybe I don't have to make a bracha. So he says, if you're really not sure, he says, enechanami, just do like the Shibali Yalakit says, wash your hands without making a bracha. But again, the standard minhag, I can't tell you what the Sfar did in light of that tshuva of Rabbi Yosef. The standard Ashkenazi minhag is that we do make a bracha on the rachza. And again, if you want to be mahadir a little bit more to be in sync with the actual like halachic issues that are there, it would be preferable to make sure to just do something beforehand to be mechayiv yourself in that bracha. That's Yosef Daim. Yeah.
So does that mean like
where
you
scratch head,
you
should
stop?
Huh?
I mean, like if I'm about to, like, yes, I should stop.
You should.
Or I should scratch my head. Like in the
when?
Middle. The middle before rachza. Like I'm about to go and I'm like, oh wait.
No, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
It?
Yeah.
You should not scratch your head.
Huh?
It's okay, it doesn't matter. Either way.
Now again, if a person did one of the things, they touched what's called a makam atinofis, they touched a sweaty place, your hair is usually assumed to be sweaty, greasy, depending how yeshivish you are, you know, kind of an area. So the halacha is that you can't make a bracha like that if your hands are dirty. There's no nechiv netilas yadayim per se, you can't make a bracha. So there, in the middle of the Seder, so you would just you rub your hands on the table like one of those on a midi de manke you would use just to clear your hands off. But by the bread, whether the din of netil sidayim per se, then you would go and wash at that stage. If you know you dafka did something wrong, you have an itch, you scratch your head, just then go like that, and then already of course you can make an netil sidayim with a bracha without any problem later on, without being all that concerned. That was the racht. Let's move into mochi matzah for a couple of minutes. I think we can bank off a good chunk of matzah tonight as well. So a lot of matzah to be eaten. Our favorite Thursday night topic. Matzah like this. Matzah is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, that's a serious, serious topic, matzah. Okay. We run through a couple of different topics related to the dinam of motzi matzah. The honest truth is we're not going to get into very many of the pratim over here related to halachas of matzah. A couple of overviews, and then we're going to move into some of the practicalities. Number one. We should be aware that if you look on your list of Marim Mekomos, you have a couple of Gemaras here, like Marim Kuf Chaf, and Aleph Kuf Tesvav, and Aleph and Pesachim, summarized by the Rambam Mitzvahs Esei Nun Vav in the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam in Hilchas Chametzu Matzah, Paskins like this as well. Clear from the Gemara that one of the two Mitzvahs Daraisa that we have is Man Hazeh, after the Churban Abayis, that where we're still Mekayim, our Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, that was by the Maggid part of the Seder, that's a Mitzvah Daraisa, and Matzah as well, that's the eating Matzah. Ad Kedei Kach, there's a Chassam Sofer who points out, and Matzah is the one time throughout the entire year that we actually have a mitzvah to eat something. Bizman the Mikdash, there are many mitzvahs to eat, eating karbanos, eating maro is a mitzvah daraisa, by the Seder. But matzahs are the only mitzvah deraisa we have to eat is the mitzvah of matzah. That's the only thing that's there. Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of oneg. We're mechuyah to enjoy ourselves, but there's not a mitzvah of eating per se. The most popular of enjoyment is eating, but the maisa mitzvah is not the achila. The mitzvah is the oneg that's there. By the sukkah, I'm sure you all came to the discussion in Masechta Sukkah. I think we brought it up sometimes at towards the beginning of about night, said what the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah is all about. But matzah al-kapanim is the one time we have during the year, alibi the kuli alma, that there's a mitzvah of eating something. The one thing we have. The mitzvah d'oraisa. The Gemara points out, without going through all of the arichas and skim through the Marim Makomos as we're talking, we're quotes from various psukim that whereas maror is something that's tied to the Karban Pesach, maror and the Karban Pesach are interrelated. Maror is its own separate thing, but erev tochlu matzah, still bezman azeh of a mitzvah d'oraisa of eating matzah. Now, you have a Gemara. The Gemara points out that matzah has a couple of characteristics to it that are important to understanding a little bit of like we'll call like the hashkaf or the machshava really of the matzah. We mentioned last night when we were dealing with the Haggadah that matzah is called the lechem oni. Lechem oni. A lechem oni has a number of different implications. It means a couple of different things. A lechem she'onim alav devarim harbi. That's one version that the Gemara has in Pesachim. Lechem she'onim alav devarim harbi. You have that marimakom in front of kuf tes vav. And aleph, it appears in the flamed vav also in Pesachim. You speak things over the lechem. You speak things about the matzah. You speak about the sipur yitzchayim. You say the halel. That's lechem oni, aniya, to speak. Or of course, other ideas. It's the lechem. It's the lechem oni. It's the poor man's bread. Ma oni darko beprusa, af kan beprusa. You have to have a prusa, cut, a sliced piece of matzah. Well, that idea that the lechem ani, the lechem is a poor man's bread, a poor person who picks through the garbage, Rahman al-Etzlan, Baruch Hu should save us from that, but he finds a scraps, little things here and there that other people threw out. We have the same thing by the Seder. Now, that idea of the lechem oni being the poor man's bread like that is directly nogeya to one of the, again, the tricky minhagim that we have, really a halachic issue, I shouldn't call it a minute, but one of the tricky issues in halacha that applies, and that's nogeya to the mitzvah of motzi matzah, of those two stages. And it's dafka the reason why we break those two things into two, the stage of motzi and matzah. Yom machlokis and Rishonim. Yom machlokis and Rishonim. According to the Rambam, I have this psak in Perek Ches of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. You'll get up to there sometime soon. It's the next Perek afternoon, after you're done with Perek Zayin. The Rambam in Perek Ches of Hilchos Chametz Matzah is a Chiddush. Rambam learns that whereas by any other Shabbos or Yom Tov meal, there's a chiv of lechem mishnah. You have to have two loaves of bread, two challahs, two whatever it is on Pesach morning, two matzahs sitting there by the table. By the Seder, even the lechem mishnah, normally, at least according to the Rambam and others, is a chiv d'oraisa to have that zeicher l'man. By the Seder night, because of the din of lechem oni, it has to be a poor man's kind of bread, we dafka don't take lechem mishnah. We don't take two full loaves of bread. Rather, what we do is you take a matzah and a half. Ma oni darko beprusa. An oni doesn't have the whole thing. You take a matzah and a half. What? No, the Rambam Shita is, like I just said, you take one and a half. That's it. No lechem mishnah whatsoever. One and a half. Why? Because according to the Rambam, the concept of lechem mishnah comes and changes and alters the chiyuv of the suda that you have. Now, if you recall, we had a Rambam sheet about that at the very, very beginning. But when we sat down to learn Kiddush, we mentioned that the Rambam, when it comes to the din of Kiddush by the Seder night, the Kiddush, according to the Rambam, based on the idea of Cheiros, of Laharos as Atma Kiyu, Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim, is not the regular Kiddush out of the year. Here we find the Rambam sort of working thematically, Lishitaso. According to the Rambam, every stage of the Seder is governed by different rules. The whole Suda is totally different. We don't have the regular Shabbos and Yom Tov Dinim. The Kiddush was a different Chiyuv. The Lechem Mishnah doesn't exist. That's a Lechem Oni that you have by the Seder. That's the sheet of the Rambam. The Gruz opinion was you follow that idea as well. You take a look at the Tosafot. We'll take questions in one second. You take a look at the Tosafot on the Flamed Tes Amud Beis in Brachos. We'll get up to it sometime soon. The Tosis has a different sheet, and it appears in Psachim also. It's on the sheet in front of you. I gave you this Tosis. It's a little bit easier to understand. The Tosis Lemaisa quotes a number of Shitos in Rishonim that argue on that Psach of the Rambam, that argue on that idea of the Rambam. Most of the Tosis revolves around various Hilchos Brachos related issues that are a little bit beyond the scope of what we're speaking about here. So I want to touch briefly on what some of the Diyunim are. You can at least understand what you're doing, even without knowing like the entire like machlokas. Again, learn through the Tosas, you get a little bit more out of it. And some of the pratim we'll mention. Tosas quotes like this. That, listen, theoretically, if the Rambam was right, that you have a din of lechem oni, darko sha'ani beprusa, what would have made the most sense when you're making the hamotzi by the matzah at the Seder, would have been to do what? Huh? Where to do what? How many matzahs would you take?
One. Two.
Only, we'll take a half a matzah. Darko sha'ani beprusa, take a little piece of a matzah, right? Is that what you said before? I didn't hear. I thought you said something different. I'm sorry. I thought you said breaking it. Maybe that's what you meant. Okay, fine. I didn't chap. Okay. You take a half of it, you take half of a matzah. Matzah is a problem with that. The halacha is, in terms of the dinam of brachos, if you have an option of making a bracha on a shlema, on an entire loaf of whatever it is, so that's preferable. It's always better to make a bracha, a motzi, whatever other bracha, on a shlema, an entire food item, instead of just a piece of whatever it will be. So it says Tosis, you can't take just a half a matzah alone, because that just like spits in the face of the dinam of Hilchos Brachos. You have to have a whole thing there. To make the bracha, that's the preferable thing to do. So you take, maybe you're going to take a matzah and a half. Maybe that's the way you would do it. Now, what would you be doing? Says Tosas, you really have in mind when you're making the bracha that you want the bracha to be being made on the whole matzah that's there. That's the halacha on the shlema. Whatever Tosas says, since you're holding both in your hands, it's nearer. It looks kibotzei ala prus. It looks like you're making the hamotzi and the alachilas matzah on the broken matzah. So you're mekayim your lechem oni idea by doing that. You have both in your hands. The hamotzi, the focus is on the tat matzah. The alachilas matzah bracha that you're making, you focus, you're mechaving that bracha is being made on the matzah underneath. Now why by that matzah do I dafka make the bracha sheir kirishom and sasavetivana alachilas matzah? Because that's where I want to have my lechem oni, the darko shel oni, the prusa. And then I go and eat, then I go and eat the matzah like that. Now, the Tosas quotes the sheet of the Riyu has a slightly different idea that we're going to do. When we do lemaisas, as everybody knows, just to explain like the minig, and then we'll call it after actually one other prat, then we'll stop after one more detail. What we do bizman is something slightly different. Like we have a minig where we take 2.5 matzahs. The 2.5 matzahs is in deference to one of the opinions that Tosas and other places quotes, that there still really is a chiyuv of lechem mishnah at the Seder, like a regular Shabbos, a regular Yom. If you have 2 matzahs, that's unquestionable. Lechem mishnah, you have to have 2 matzahs. On the other hand, there's a chiyuv of lechem oni. It has to be a poor man's bread. It has to be broken in half. So says the Tosas here in Psachim, and this is the minig that we have, we do it like this. The amotzi that you're making, you hold over the 2 whole matzahs, one on top, one on bottom, so it actually looks like you're making a regular lechem mishnah with 2 matzahs. You put your bottom matzah down after you're done. You were yotzei the chiyuv of lechem mishnah. Your amotzi was made properly. Now you have the chiyuv of lechem oni, the mat darko sha'oni befrusa. There we have kavan. Okay, now I'm making my bracha on the broken matzah that's there. And I go and I eat that. Now, la'alacha, we know that the Shulchan Aruch brings that in some tough ayin. Hey, we have a minug that is very, very difficult to explain. Matter of fact, the bi'alacha, Mishabu, I have no real explanation why the Shulchan Aruch says this, that we take 2 kizayim of matzah, a kizayis of the matzah we made hamotzi on, the tap matzah, a kizayis of the middle matzah we made the alachilas matzah, and we eat 2 kizayim of matzah, even though midaraisa, midarabanan, you're only mechuyuv to eat 1 kizayis of matzah. There's a minhag that we have to eat the 2 kizayim davka by the Suda. Why that's so, again, for the third time tonight, that's not clear why that's the case. But that's a very, very important minhag to keep in mind. Why is that important, minik, to keep in mind? Because the contemporary poskim, Shlomo Zalman Zatzar of Eliyashiv Shlita, had pointed out that we know around Pesach time, like we all sit and try to figure out what the shiur of matzah is, how much matzah you have to eat, what's considered a kezayis, what's not, right? The person printed a whole picture book and all the different things. What is a kezayis, etc.? Right? An important thing to know. You have to know what kezayis is. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So Chazon Ish had some ways to figure out, other poskim had different ways to figure out how much a kezayis is supposed to be. So the contemporary poskim pointed out. And the truth is, when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, one does not have to be overly strict about the size of the kezayis. Why is that so? Because anyway, we're trying to eat two kezayisim of matzah, to be mekayim this minig that the Shulchan Aruch brings out. And this inexplicable minig that the Shulchan Aruch brings. Now, if I'm going to eat two kezayisim of the smaller size kezayis is a matzah, that is definitely at least as big, but it's definitely bigger than one kezayis of even the biggest shear of a kezayis that exists. So Mimela, I don't have to look at the biggest shear of a kezayis and eat two of those, because Mimanav Shach, I'm definitely doing what I have to do, even if I take two of the smaller shiurim of kezayis. What?
What about
the chiyuv is to eat at least one of the kezayis in Mekdei Achilas Pras.
So if you were wrong,
so if you're using two of the smaller shiurim, right, so then you want to try to gobble down the entire thing as quick as you possibly can, just to be safe. Now, we should be aware, Miskarov had brought many rayas, and this is a famous practice, but many rayas, lahalacha, that when a person eats matzah, or in fact, whenever you do any mitzvah of achila shasiya, the matzah has to be consumed in one gulp. The whole idea of a kedei achilas pras is only a b'di'evit. If you happen to not have swallowed it all in one shot, you're also yotze if you ate it b'kedei achilas pras. But look, chatzchila, and it's brought in Rishonim already in Pesachim over here. We don't have time to point out all the Marimakomas and the Mordechai and other places. And if the Truma Sadeshim was the one who took the Mordechai and developed the idea, and the Briskarov was the one who really made it popular to make sure everyone knew that they were supposed to do this, the kezayis is supposed to be eaten in one pap, in one shot. You have all the matzah in your mouth, you chew. Remember, according to Halacha, eating, the process of eating begins when? In what stage, huh? When it passes the base of bliya, when you actually swallow it. So as long as you swallow the kezayis in one shot, then you're carrying the mitzvah 100% mohudar according to all of the dais, without relying on the b'di'evet of a kedei achilas pras. So that's just stamped a side note. Now, one more thing we'll mention, although it's not directly nogei, it's a matzah, it's indirectly related, that we haven't yet touched upon, is the mitzvah Haseba, the mitzvah to lean whenever eating by the, or the mitzvah to eat whenever leaning by the Seder. Haseba, you have to lean to your left side. There's a lot of sugyas about Haseba. The reason why we're going to bring it up in reference to matzah is based on a rush in Simon Chaf in the 10th Perek in Pesachim. The rush points out the following chiddush la'alacha. We know that you're mechuyev to do a seba when you eat your matzah. What happens if b'di'evet you didn't do a seba? You didn't lean to your left when you're eating the matzah. What do you do then? What do you do over then? The psak of the rush is that you have to eat the matzah over again by a seba. A person takes a look in the Rambam, Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the famous Perek, when the Rambam discusses what a seba is all about. So why do you have to do a seba according to the Rambam? That's to demonstrate chayrus, right? Lafika, therefore we drink four cups of wine, we all eat b'derech hayseba when we sit down by the Seder. According to the Rambam, chayrus is the name of the game when it comes to Seba. Surprise, that's surprising, but we notice when we look through the Rambam Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Matzah carefully, what does the Rambam tell us the din is if a person didn't do Seba by the Seder? Huh? No, he doesn't say a thing. He doesn't mention anything about b'di'evit if you didn't do a seba. It's not there. He doesn't say a word. So Biskarov pointed out also in the Grizel Rambam, a hezber in the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. What happens if you didn't do a seba by the matzah? The Rush says you have to go back and eat over again. The Rambam doesn't say anything about it. Mashmet, you don't have to go back and repeat the mitzvah matzah. So Biskarov explained a very, very simple lumnus. He said, listen. You know, machlokas is not, do you have to go back and eat your matzah over again? The machlokas between them is about what the nature of this takana of Haseba is all about. According to the Rambam, Haseba is an independent kiyum of a mitzvah of Cheiros. It's a separate mitzvah that you're doing. When did Chazal tell you to perform the mitzvah of demonstrating Cheiros? You have to do that mitzvah when you're drinking four cups. You have to do that mitzvah when you're eating your matzah, etc., at various times. But if I didn't do that Haseba when I'm eating my matzah, does that affect my kiyum mitzvah of matzah at all? It has nothing to do with it. I was mevatil the mitzvah of Haseba. I missed out on that. The matzah I still did 100%, so I don't have to go back and repeat it. Masha'en came the rush, the Rav had explained. The rush holds differently, that Haseba is not a separate mitzvah than Chazal or Masakin. Chazal appended Haseba to all of the different mitzvahs achila that exist by the Leila Seder. Haseba is a prat, is a detail within the mitzvah of matzah, a detail within the mitzvah of dalet kosas. If I didn't do a seba, then I'm missing out on the mitzvah of matzah. I missed out. Memela mechuyev to go back and eat the matzah over again, doing a seba in the proper kind of way, in the proper kind of a way. We're going to call it over here mitzvah. The matzah tonight, tomorrow night, the mitzvah, we'll pick up with the next chunk of stages.